out on the roadways over the last year and a half or so, one of the things we've been sorting out here locally has been new choices when it comes to getting from point A to point B. You've got your car, you got your bicycle, you got your two legs. You've got motorcycle, I suppose, for some out there, helmet or not. And you've got CATA. These are your general everyday choices. Maybe they're your Segway person, but there aren't too many of those around anymore. Or you could take a taxi cab. That's expensive. Or you can take Uber, which I've done, and not so much in mid-Michigan, but out of town when traveling, and had no issues. I mean, it was darn foolproof. But, you know, not everybody is on board with this anymore. Certainly we've heard the rumble from the politicians out there. There's no question about that. And it's, the old line is, you know, when life gives you lemons, you apply for a business license, a food service license, and a sales tax license, you make lemonade. Then you get a lobbyist to make a lemonade consumption mandatory, you subsidize it, then you require government approval to open a new lemonade stand, and then you lobby for regulations that you can handle, but that will bury your competition. This is part of the way it works with new innovation. So is Uber getting squeezed by politicians, or is Uber's model to make people at the top, like their CEO, on paper, a $18.5 billion rich guy, and really kind of take it to those who are driving? Somebody who drove here, and that's past tense, is former host here on WILS in the morning, Walt Sorg, who drove for about a year, and now he's quit Uber, and he joins us now to tell us about it. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
I'm okay, and I assume you are as well. After turning in, I won't say your hack license, because you were doing the ride share, so you don't have the normal taxi license, but you passed all their tests and all the things that you have to go through to be an Uber driver, and for a while you were quite an acolyte. I mean, you were singing the praises, but now not so much.
Well, it was very interesting because Uber is one of those situations where instead of delayed gratification you have for drivers, it's delayed horror. What happens is that the whole business model for Uber is based on drivers basically assuming all of the risk. They pay for their vehicles, they pay for maintenance, they only get paid when they have people in the car, and they have the freedom of setting their own hours because they're called independent contractors, although that's being debated. But what I found after tracking all the numbers was I wasn't making any money.
Okay, so you just weren't... You crunched them. You did the spreadsheet, and you weren't coming out ahead. Well, why now? Because I know for a while you said that you were actually raking in some pretty good coin, but then you had the outlay as well.
Yeah, well, Uber's business model when they open up in a new market is they set the fares at a fairly high level. It's competitive with taxi fares, but their first goal in any market is to attract drivers, because without people who sign up voluntarily to be drivers and at their own risk, again, because they're not getting any guaranteed money, they set the fares fairly high. And then as the market becomes more and more established, the customer base gets more and more solid, what they do is they cut rates. First, they cut rates in Lansing 10%. And then about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, they cut it another 20%. And that's great for Uber because it drives up demand. You know, lower price means more people are going to use it because it costs them less. But when I started running the numbers, I realized I went from profitability to basically break even at best. And that didn't take into account the value of my time. That was simply my expense for operating my vehicle.
So, Walt, let me see if I get this straight, because this operates a little counterintuitive. A lot of businesses grand open, they start very low and kind of work their way back up. But Uber starts high, close to the taxi rate. They get you involved. They get the app on your phone. You start liking the service. And then they keep dropping it to win you over. Like, boy, it gets better and better. It's even cheaper. But at the same time, their drivers are going, wow, I'm making less.
Absolutely. That's what they do, because a big part of their revenue model is they charge $1 per trip. They call it a safe driver fee. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it Clarabelle Clown for all I care. But they get a dollar for every trip, regardless of how long that trip is. And that part of it never gets cut. Mm. What is cut is the mileage and time charges, which impacts the driver directly. So that by having higher volume, their database tells them the more volume we have, even at the lower prices, the more money we as a company make. And as a result, the drivers end up getting squeezed to the point where they're basically, they think they're making money because you're still getting some pretty good checks. But what you're not taking into account is your vehicle's depreciating. You've got maintenance expenses. And God forbid, if you're in an accident, you're really up the creek because even though Uber carries insurance on you, it doesn't cover everything.
And does Michigan, with no fault here and the way we're structured, does that make our model on that different than some other states?
No, it's a real mess on the insurance side of it. My insurance agent advised me in the beginning, he said, run as fast as you can away from this because it's going to cause you trouble. And I chose to ignore him because Uber did, in fact, carry coverage for their drivers. But where it really
falls down... Because you're an ignore advice kind of guy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my figure. Okay.
I'm a skeptic just like you.
Okay, so you quit. You've done it for a year, and you're like, okay, enough of that. Other than meeting some interesting people, driving them places, and dropping them off, you didn't come out ahead. I got to ask you this. Do you believe that you are the typical Uber driver that way, or were there things that made your thing atypical? And I think you have an electric vehicle, too. Were you using that?
Yeah, I was using that. Now, I was just for calculating costs, I used the IRS standard deduction, 57.5 cents per mile is what it is this year, which showed me, say on a trip to Metro Airport, using the IRS numbers, if I drove you to Metro Airport and you paid me $125 roughly is what the fare is now under the new rates, and then I came back here with my car empty, I actually lost money.
Yeah, no, that's right. So you had the deadhead back, so you're losing money on it. Plus, you're taking a big risk. You're putting a lot of miles on our roads, which, we've been having that conversation as well. So you try to be good at the route you take it easy on your vehicle, but you also want to get the good rating from the rider that you didn't take them on a roundabout route. True?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And also you'll get the rider. I had one person I picked up over near Eastwood Town Center. Their flight was leaving Metro in an hour and a half.
Okay. Good luck with that.
They were in a hurry.
I'm guessing they were in a hurry. So now you're flouting the law, or maybe not. Well, Walt, so you've quit this. Do you know other drivers? Do you compare notes? Is there like a internet forum for former Ubers?
There's an internet forum for Uber drivers in general, but it's a national site. Uber is very sensitive about these things. They monitor the social networks and they monitor the internet to make sure that their drivers aren't saying bad things about them. They're also fighting a big fight right now in California courts over whether or not the drivers are truly independent contractors. And that's a big deal for them because drivers don't get any benefits. They don't get paid when they don't have passengers in the car. No minimum wage, none of that stuff. And if they're reclassified as regular employees, it's going to change the Uber business model substantially.
Walt Sorg's a former host here, the AM Lansing Show, 1320s. Also a former Uber driver here. It's good that you share your story out there. It's interesting. It's one thing when you're on the riding end of it. Again, positive experience, not a ton, just anecdotally, not too bad. But on the other side,
there is service for the customer.
Yeah, there's no question. I felt safe and comfortable, and it was super fast. But for the driver out there, that's an important, on the labor side, very important consideration as well. Well, have a great day. Appreciate you being here.
Take care, Dave.